We started a series, a two-part sermon last week on prayer killers. There are times when we just think, why is it that my prayers just seem to bounce off the ceiling? They're not going anywhere. And we started letting you know that there are thousands of ways that the Lord answers prayers. And there were three common answers to prayer. There was a yes, and there was no, and there's a wait. And then I got into 10 prayer killers that I'm calling that make prayers ineffective. And for the benefit of those that were not here last Sabbath, just quickly go through the first five. Now, very quickly, okay, if you're taking notes, don't say, Pastor, slow down. Talk to me afterwards. One, unconfessed sin. If we carry around sin, that's going to harm our prayer life. Two, lack of faith. Sometimes we pray knowing that it cannot happen. It's just within, it's too great. Three, disobedience. One of the fruits of being a Christian, of accepting Jesus Christ, is that we obey. We are obedient to Him. Four, lack of transparency with God and others. And sometimes we think we are fooling God, when actually the only ones that we're fooling is ourselves. Five, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. This is a major one, a major prayer killer, because Matthew 6 says 12 that Father, forgive us as we forgive those who did those who trespass against us. In other words, Father, in the same way or the same amount of forgiveness that I show toward my brothers and sisters, that same amount of forgiveness I would expect back from you. Okay? Now we'll get into and we'll continue. If you have your Bibles, you could open to James. James chapter 4 and verse 3. James 4, verse 3. It simply says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. And for those of you that did not bring your Bible, there it is. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. So the pastor was taking a walk, and as he was walking, he noticed that there was a boy jumping up and down of this beautiful home. Those big, beautiful Victorian homes that for some reason they had those old-fashioned doorbells, they have them way up high. And that little boy was jumping up and down, trying to reach that doorbell, jumping. The pastor said, poor little guy, he's trying to get back inside his house. I'm just going to go and help him. And he went and he said, good morning. And he said, with a nice vigorous, ring. And then he looked at the young little boy and he, with a smile on his face, he says, and now what? And the little boy looks at him and says, now we run like crazy. the minister misjudged the motives of that young little boy. The minister thought that he was there trying to get in the house. He couldn't reach the doorbell. But the motives of the little boy was to ring the doorbell and run, to see the owners come up and say, who rang the doorbell? Sometimes We do the same with God. But make no mistake about something here. God knows our motives. He knows our heart. He knows everything about us. And when our motives are not right, our prayers have no power. Our prayers have no power. Number 7, idols in the heart. I've been going through the book of Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, there are two ways of knowing God. And as I look through it, as I read through Ezekiel, you know, there's that way that says, know God for what great mighty works he is doing in your life. That you will know God. But then, if you read Ezekiel, it says there's that same phrase again, but it says, and idol worship, it was a major thing in Ezekiel. And at the end of the chapters, sometimes when it goes point by point of what the people are doing, what the nation is doing, and then at the bottom of that chapter, it says, then they will know that he is God. I would rather know God the other way than to know God, you know, like when they said, just wait till your daddy comes home. Remember when your mom used to say that? Just wait till your dad gets home. Now, you know, it was different when he said, just wait till your dad gets home. He has surprises for you. Oh, yes, daddy's coming home. Yay. But that wait till your dad gets home, that was different. If I had a choice between which way I would like to see dad, I'd like the other type, you know, with the good surprises rather than wait till your dad gets home. Ezekiel says, son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and have put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? Now, most people think of idols, statues of wood, of stone, of silver, of gold. But you and I know that idols are more than that. Idol is basically anything that can come before you and God. That is an idol. So it can be money. It can be a career. It can be, and here's where it's going to start hurting a little bit more, it can be children. It can be a wife. A husband can be pleasure. Anything that comes before you, between you and God, is an idol. And this is really an issue of the heart. It's an issue of the heart. There are millions of Christians that are willing to give their life for Jesus, but they're not willing to give up something they're doing. God does not like idols. God does not like to take second place. God wants first place in your heart. It's like, you know, when we were growing up, usually the girls did not like it when the gentleman had another girl on the side, another girlfriend. Imagine that. And the reason was because they wanted to be number one. And that is understandable. God wants to be number one in your life. Take a look at your life. Search your life. Is there anything that you are putting ahead of God? Anything. And sometimes it's hard to tell because you don't know. Well, I don't know. I mean, I do a lot for my children, but am I putting them before God? But ask yourself this question, if it's hard to tell. Would I be willing to give this up? Would I be willing to give this thing up if God asked me to? The usual answer, Pastor, where does it say in the Bible that I have to give that up? Where does it say that I have to stop doing this, this, or that? Show me. And it's like, well, it doesn't really say exactly thou shalt give this up. But from what we read in the scriptures, we come to that conclusion. And for some people, it has to say, thou shalt not. But ask yourself that question honestly. Look at your careers. Are you spending more time in your careers than studying the Word of God? Possessions. Lot's wife, that was one of the things. You know, the house that you work for, the house that you built so many things for, and you got it all pretty and everything, and you, Pastor, what you're saying is if the Lord asked me to walk away from it, I'm supposed to do that? If God asked. How about your family? If there are things that you would not release to God, then they are blocking access to Him. Number 8, disregard for others. Psalm 33:18. This is what it says. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. How many people does God love? All. Everybody. You mean even the bad ones? Are you sure about that? Because it's one thing saying that God loves even the bad ones, but when you have something that has happened to you personally, maybe someone in prison that has done something to one of your family members. Because I've sat with people that have told me what that person did that is unforgivable. It might be in your eyes and in your heart. But in the heart of God, if anyone comes to Him and reasons with Him and asks for forgiveness and repents of the wickedness he has committed in his life or has done, the promise is that I will forgive. And yes, we might struggle with that. And we might have to ask the Lord to help us to be able to forgive. But God forgives. When we disregard others, it causes Him pain. I was talking with someone recently, and I was telling them, you know, physical pain, it hurts. Yeah, I remember smashing my finger. It hurts. But you know what would hurt more? If any of you did something to my children, that would hurt more than physical pain. And I think the devil knows that, because he knows when he causes pain to the children of God, that's one of the ways that he makes Jesus suffer. Because when he sees you in pain, when he sees you in tears, he's right there with you, feeling your pain, and probably even crying with you. And when we disregard our brothers and sisters, it causes pain to Jesus Christ. God's desire for each one of us, God's desire for this church, Valley View, is to have unity. And there are a lot of texts supporting this. John 13:34 is one of them. He says, a new commandment I give you, notice he didn't say a new suggestion. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, and this is the new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. There is a benefit in praying, and one of those benefits is that when you start praying, you start loving. It is impossible for a person to criticize or hate someone when you're praying for them. There was a pastor that tells this story of a man who criticized him severely. I mean, you know, there are times when we can't do anything right. Our sermons are boring. And worst, they're boring and long. And if you try to do things right, it's always wrong. So whatever we try to do, it will always be the wrong thing to do. And this man was one of those. After the service, he always went home, gathered up some people that were willing to listen to him. And what did they have for lunch? Roast pastor. Ooh, just, and these were vegetarians probably. But what happened is, when this man's prayer life began to grow and he started praying, he decided that he needed to pray for pastors. Not just his pastor particularly, but all pastors. And he started praying for them. And you know what? The more he prayed for pastors, this spirit of criticism started to melt. And it melted into a spirit of compassion. You cannot hate someone that you are praying for. Number 9, disregard for God's sovereignty. Do you believe that God has all power in your life? Do you believe that God knows you more than you know yourself? And that's sometimes kind of hard to understand because we know ourselves. We know who we are. And so we think. But you know what? God knows exactly who we are. And this is the amazing thing about this, that God knows exactly who we are, and yet he still loves us. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." God already knew us. Probably even before I was conceived. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, the disciples came to him and asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." The first thing he taught them when he was teaching them to pray was to honor God for who he is. "Our Father which art in heaven, holy be your name." God knows it all. Open your Bibles to Matthew 6, verses 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. "In this manner," he said, after the disciples had asked him to teach him to pray, "in this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." What are we doing with this? We are acknowledging, when we pray this way, we are acknowledging that God is in charge, that he is sovereign, that we are under God's authority. Sometimes we don't like to be under any authority. We did jail ministry there at Stevenson, and we would go to the jail Sabbath afternoons, and we would have a worship service for the inmates. A lot of those inmates did not like authority. They have a problem with authority. And some of them were in there because they were caught driving without a license for the fifth or sixth time. And I asked him, "Why don't you get a license?" "Well, if I get my license, then that means I have to fill out all that paperwork, give my social security number, and blah, blah, blah." They go on and tell you why, the reasons why they don't want to do that. And basically, is they don't want to be under authority. But God owns us. We are His creation. He created us. Therefore, we are His. And anytime we disregard divine order of things, we hinder our relationship with Jesus Christ, with our Heavenly Father. There was a story of a Scottish woman who sold wares, who sold things. And every morning, she would get up, get ready, get her wares all done, and she would start walking. And whenever she came to an intersection, she would stop, and she had a stick. And she would throw the stick up in the air, and whichever way that stick landed, she would go that way, because she believed that the Lord directed her in the way that stick pointed. So one day she finds herself in an intersection, and across the street there was an older gentleman looking at her. And she threw the stick up in the air, picked it up, threw the stick again, picked it up, and the third time threw the stick up in the air. The third time, the man that was looking at her couldn't stand it, so he goes up to her and says, "What are you doing?" She says, "Well, I'm. This is the way God shows me where to go." And he said, "So why did you throw the stick three times?" "Oh," she said, "because the first two times God was pointing me in the wrong direction." God was pointing me in the wrong direction. And sometimes, we sort of do the same thing. We ask God to lead us, but we are not willing to surrender our own will. Do you know what the ultimate purpose of prayer is? Here it is. I'll tell you what it is. The ultimate purpose of prayer is not to get what we want. The ultimate purpose of prayer is to learn what God wants to give us. But you know what? That will never happen if we are not willing to surrender our life completely to God, and we need to put our will under His agenda, not our own. Some people do this. "Lord, give me a sign." You know, you're praying for something. You're moving. You're wanting to buy this. You have a problem. You are going to get married. And we go, "Lord, give me a sign." And this is the way some people do this. And I'm not making this up, because I've heard all of this. And it might sound silly, but this is the way sometimes we work when there is not an unsurrendered will. Here it is. Lord, if the sun doesn't come up tomorrow, you really want me to do this. And I've had someone, I mean, everybody was counseling against something. Everybody. And I don't know if you're this way, but there are people that go from pastor to pastor, from pastor to pastor, bringing in the same petition, and they get a no, 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 don't do it, no, no. What they're actually doing is to find one pastor that's willing to say, well, maybe, hey, praise the Lord, that's what the Lord wants me to do. So they pray, Lord, I know everybody else is counseling against all this, and they probably live in Michigan, and they say, Lord, if this winter it doesn't snow, then that means that you do want me to do this. We need to surrender our will to God. John 15:7 says, I guess I don't have John 15:7 there. Just close it. But John, you brought your Bibles. Let's look it up. I'll just throw the stick there. And look, it pointed that way, so it must be time to finish. John 15:7. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. Ask what? Whatever you wish. Pastor, does this include wants and desires and needs? Well, the Bible says it's clear here. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. You know what? There are great benefits of surrendering our will to God. And one of them is that, precisely, that God is willing to answer our prayers and our requests. Another one of those benefits is that we get to receive the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit. We get to have a victorious life. Our prayer life. And if you don't have a prayer life, I suggest you start one. But our prayer life depends on keeping our relationship strong with Jesus and with God. We need to keep our life uncluttered by sin and disobedience. You know, the book of Ezekiel, as I'm reading through it, the people, the nation, they are in trouble with God all the time because of disobedience. First Peter 3:12. Says this, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, of course, those who do evil are the bad people out there. You see them? They're not here. I think those texts and that text was specifically written for the people in here, for us. Because we don't really do evil, do we? Just a little sin here, or a little sin there, or a justifiable white lie is okay if you're able to justify it once in a while, right? The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but though the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Maintaining a prayer life, maintaining a relationship, is an ongoing process. And gentlemen, ladies, those of you that are married, please take this in consideration also, that marriage is a type of relationship. Marriage is a relationship. And any relationship, you need to work at it. It's an ongoing process, working at it. Little counsel before you get married. Every day, we need to ask the Lord to reveal anything in our life that will hinder our progress in that relationship. Every day. David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. And this is what David said. Let's open your Bible. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. The man after God's own heart is writing this, and he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." If God was able to forgive David, and if God was able to forgive him and build a special relationship with him, I know that for sure he can do the same with us. Here's the thing. Some of you have a list of 10 things, right? And I know how those lists work. You take them home and you start praying the Lord and search me, Lord. And then you, am I doing this, number one? No, I'm not. This, number two. This, number three. But here's how it really works. Because some of you might see that list as the problem. 10 things. Maybe that's why my prayers are not being answered. I would say just keep that list somewhere for reference. But don't make that the list you're going to be looking every morning just to make sure that you're under the list. Here's the thing. Look unto Jesus. Get closer to Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Study the Word of God. And you will begin to realize that that list, you really didn't need that list. Because the more time you spend with Jesus Christ, the things on that list, the negative aspect of it, as far as doing all those 10 things that would block prayer, or the effectiveness of prayer, they will go away naturally. Loving others will be a joy because you love Jesus. Forgiveness would be something that is so natural for you that you come and you forgive. You don't even have to think. Why? Because you're with Jesus. Doing evil, it's just an unthinkable thing that, it's gross. I mean, sin would be a terrible thing. And sometimes we don't know how bad sin really is. Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. Are we willing to open our hearts and ask Him to search us? Before you do this, think about it. Before you do this, think about it. Before you ask God honestly to come into our hearts and search every corner of our heart, think about it. Because when you give God permission to do so, He will get that big holy spotlight and come into our hearts and search every cranny because you asked Him to. Search me, O God, and cleanse me. When that happens, you will see that our prayer life will just take off. I'd like for you to open your praise songs. And I'll get one over here. It's number 247. The Spirit Song. Is it 247 or 287? 287. 287. Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have the things that you hold. And His Spirit, like a dove, will descend upon your life and make you whole. Total surrender is what God is asking of us. Father, we want you to fill us with the Holy Spirit. We want to have a prayer life that is powerful. But we also want to surrender our will to you. We want to totally surrender to you. So I pray that as we leave this sacred place, that your Holy Spirit may search our hearts, that the Holy Spirit may transform our life, the Holy Spirit may melt us, may mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. Father, help us. Help us to know how to pray. Help us to be the people of prayer that you've asked us to be. Be with us now as we leave this sacred place, as we continue to honor and glorify the Sabbath day, and as we continue to honor and glorify your name. Keep us safe as we go and enjoy a time of fellowship, and bring us back in the afternoon as we continue to worship. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.